Hello and welcome to the Health Report with me, Norman Swan. An astounding statistic for you. There are more young people alive today than ever before in human history, and we know less about them than any other age group. It's a global bulge probably larger than the post-war baby boom in Australia and other rich countries. That's later, after we've dealt with a more adult issue, keeping your brain in order. Could building your muscles build your brain, or at least slow it from falling apart? That's the tantalising suggestion from a randomised trial released a few days ago, where strength training improved the thinking ability of people whose memory was beginning to go. Teresa Lou Ambrose is at the Brain Research Centre at the University of British Columbia.
We've done studies in the past in otherwise healthy older adults and found that resistance training was beneficial for cognitive function. And here what we've done is extend our research and looked at the effect of both strength training and aerobic training in individuals with mild cognitive impairments. We do know that they have a greater risk of developing dementia over the next 5 years.
And when you say cognitive impairment, their memory is not as good as it used to be, particularly their short-term memory, and they're thinking a bit more slowly than they otherwise would have a few years ago.
And for those who were in our study, the two primary areas that we really noticed a significant deficit was memory, but also the executive components, your ability to make decisions well, and also to plan, and also to multitask.
So tell me about the study.
It was a 6-month trial, and what we did was randomize them to one or three groups. The control group were still exercising. They came to our center twice a week. They participated in stretching, but also in functional strength exercises as well. So they did do lunges or squats, so fairly active. The second group was a twice-a-week walking group. They would walk either outside or indoors, depending on the weather, since we live in Vancouver. And over time, we progressed them. So we always monitored their heart rates, ensure that they were working moderately hard. We introduced urban polling as well, just to add complexity to the program.
Urban polling, this is walking with poles. Get your speed up a little bit without falling over.
Yes, and it is quite a different movement pattern. There's a technique underlying it. We did purposely introduce that so that there is some component of cognitive learning involved. And the reason we did that was because for our third group, which is the strength training, we have felt very strongly that it does have a significant degree of learning involved. We're always teaching people how to maintain proper form while they're lifting the weights. And as you're doing strength training, you're always monitoring how many reps, how many sets you're doing. So we did try to equalize that cognitive loading component in the walking program.
And what did the strength training group get?
They used machines to increase their muscle strength. We worked on both the upper and lower bodies, and it was a mix between using machines, free weights, as well as functional movements. So they also did lunges and squats, but we would increase loading on top of just their body weight.
And was it progressive, so that week by week they built up their weights?
Yes, and so was the walking groups. We monitored people quite closely. For the strength training, once an individual could lift a weight 8 times for 2 sets with no problem, we would always increase their weight.
And this was twice a week?
Twice a week, yes.
And so this went on for 6 months. How much difference was there just physically in them, in the three groups, at the end of the time compared to the beginning, just so that you know you actually got a training effect?
For the strength training group, for all the participants, we saw quite drastic increases in their loading. For most people, we started off anywhere from 2 to 5 pounds. For example, biceps, on average, some people were lifting up to 15 or 20 pounds per arm.
My goodness.
It's quite heavy. We actually just had a participant come back, and she was still able to lift 15 pounds, and she's rather a small lady. And for the aerobic training group, we saw nice increases as well.
So let's get to the money. What happened to their thinking ability?
Well, what we saw was that as compared to the control group, the resistance training group demonstrated significant improvement in the area of executive functions, their ability to make the appropriate decision given a particular circumstance. And the second component was we saw that they had better associative memory. Associative memory is somewhat different than just simply remembering an item. An item memory component would be, do you remember someone's name? Associative memory would be in the context of remembering the name and tie it to the face. And we saw an improvement in the resistance training group for the associative memory.
Bring on the weights.
Well, that was, yes. And that was quite exciting for us because in terms of relevance to dementia, in particular Alzheimer's disease, changes in associative memory occurs quite early on. And also executive functions, that ability to make the appropriate decision given the circumstance, that cognitive process is also a significant predictor of whether someone will transition from mild cognitive impairment to dementia. So we're quite excited about that.
Now, you might have been excited as a researcher, but did they notice the difference? Because one of the controversies in this whole area of testing and improvement, particularly in medications for dementia and cognitive impairment, is that the researchers get excited because their tests are positive, but nobody else notices. It doesn't make a difference to their lives.
Sure, and that's a great question, and I would refer back to just even our participant today. So what she shared with us is that she did notice there was a difference in her abilities. Her example was that before she would always have to write everything down. She had a system of coping, but she did find once she was in the study that she did have the confidence to not always have to write things down and still feel that she was remembering and operating well. It may not always be as isolated as I feel that my memory is better, but it's anywhere from, you know, I feel more confident of myself, I feel that I could do more, or I can meet the challenges thrown at me much better than before.
And how long did it last?
For this particular study, we didn't follow them up. We didn't have the funds to, unfortunately. But in a prior study in otherwise healthy older adults where we did follow them a year out from the end of the trial, we actually did see that the benefits did persist, and largely because people remained active.
You implied earlier that one of the benefits here, you assume, comes from the fact that they actually have to learn new skills, count the reps, push themselves harder, and therefore it's not just blind exercise. There's a thinking element in the exercise as well, testing your brain. The question here is, somebody listening to this who's got an elderly parent, mm-hmm. who's beginning to lose their memory, and this is an option. You know, what you often say when you're doing it for cardiovascular, when you're doing it for your heart, you would say to somebody, look, as long as you go for a walk and you do 10 minutes of muscle strengthening, it could just be leaning against the bench and doing some press-ups mm-hmm. and doing some dips and so on. You don't need to get dressed in Lycra and go to the gym. But what I hear from you is that actually you might have to go to the gym for this benefit because you actually need a trainer to teach you new exercises, monitor things along with you, make sure you progress, that the trainer is actually an element here which is quite important.
You do need to focus on what you're doing. It's not something you're just doing quite blindly and not paying attention to the task at hand. So, yes, I agree, whether that is facilitated by another individual or you're reminding yourself to focus on the task, I think that has a huge factor. And the second component is that it needs to be progressive. If you look at previous literature in strength training and cognition, there's been a number of other studies. The ones that tend to have a negative effect or not progressive in nature, well, if you look at studies that seem to be positive, a component is always progressive. Whether that is facilitated by a dedicated trainer or even a family member, I think for older adults, having someone to support them in adhering to exercise is always important. Because even for walking, to maximize the benefit based on what we know, it does need to be, again, moderate intensity and progressive.
So you can't just rest on your laurels?
No. I think you always need to try to move forward and to the best of your abilities.
Teresa Lou Ambrose is at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, where she also works in the Centre for Hip Health and Mobility. And you're keeping your brain and body intact by listening to the Health Report here on RN with me, Norman Swan.